You're listening to The Air of the Time. I'm Pooh.
And I'm William Cooper.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
How would you like to help me do this broadcast tonight?
Sure.
You want to be my co-host?
Mm-hmm.
You didn't know I was going to ask you that, did you?
No, I didn't.
Are you surprised?
Mm-hmm.
Are you happy?
Mm-hmm.
That's the most important thing. Ladies and gentlemen, before we start tonight's broadcast, and Pooh is going to help me co-host tonight, we're going to take your calls. I want to tell you that the broadcast that you heard on Monday night was two chapters from my book, Behold a Pale Horse. Behold a Pale Horse. And I read them to you verbatim, wrote them over, well, probably sometime around 7 years ago. And the book has been an underground bestseller since it was published in, I believe it was December of 1990. And if you want to order that book, it's $30 post-paid. Make your money order payable to Harvest. And send it to Harvest, P.O. Box 1970, Eager, spelled E-A-G-A-R, Arizona. And listen to this zip code carefully, folks, because they've been giving you the wrong zip code at the end of the broadcast. It's 85925. 85925. So, the typesetting is almost done on the book. We have one proof copy. We've found some mistakes, and they're being corrected. The book is fantastic. Tuesday night's broadcast was Appendix F from the book, Oklahoma City Day 1. That was Tuesday night's broadcast. I read to you verbatim the Appendix F from Oklahoma City Day 1. It was written by myself in collaboration with Betty Shire. So, those of you who have been asking about that, now you know. You know where it came from. You know the source. So you know where to get it all if you want it. Don't go away. We'll be right back. We'll take your calls, and Pooh will help me. And if any of you want to call and talk to Pooh, you can do that too.
Thank you.
The number, ladies and gentlemen, is 520-333-4578. 520-333-4578. Open phones, open topic, open everything. I don't care what you want to talk about as long as you're polite and intelligent. Those are the only rules. Good evening, you're on the air. Oh, it's old poopy diapers. Why don't you pull your gonads out of wherever you stashed them and put your voice on the line, you miserable little coward? Come on, talk to us, old poopy. Oh, man, you just show what the brain power of the world of socialist Marxism really is. Ah, can't find your courage, can you? You don't have any. You are absolutely without any. Well, we can do this all hour if you want to and show the whole world what a complete total ass you really are. And all your friends sitting there watching you bare your butt to the world know it. Now, are you going to talk to us or are you going to continue to show us what you have between your ears? Well, I guess the little coward finally went back to find his little rattle and his little bottle and to try to find his mommy to change his little diapers. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, Bill. It's hard to follow an act like old poopy diapers.
Oh, it's easy to follow that act. You don't even have to know anything. You don't have to be able to do anything.
All you need is a carnival barker.
Really, all you have to do is be alive.
Hey, one of the things you were talking about, this is John from Houston, one of the things you were talking about last night run true, because about 4 years ago, Bobo Brights was in Houston when he was running for the presidency, and I went down to his rally to see what he had to offer, and one of the things that, as you mentioned, that he did have to offer was the Masonic handshake, and his vice presidential candidate, I forgot the fellow's name, he was an older gentleman who was there with him at the time, was wearing a Shriner's pin on his lapel.
Yeah. Birds of a feather always flock together.
Too bad. Something interesting that I don't know if you got all of the those news clippings I sent you last week, as well as that tape about George Bush Jr. in the Skull and Bone Society.
I believe we got those things today. Didn't you call me earlier?
Not today.
Okay, then I'm not. You're not the same person. I don't know. We've got a whole bunch of mail downstairs that hasn't been opened yet, so I can't.
One of them, there was a job listing for this new FEMA facility over in Williamson, West Virginia, which is in far southwest West Virginia, and they were looking for security guards to staff this new FEMA facility. It's right along the Kentucky border.
Uh-huh.
And another one was for a job. They wanted a role player for this federal training facility that was located supposedly in Eddy, New Mexico. Now, I've looked on about two different New Mexico road maps. There's an Eddy, E-D-D-Y county, but there is no town of Eddy listed there. But they were looking for a role player, so when they come in, like, you know, to terrorize the village and all that, they want you to play the part of tackling dummy.
Mm-hmm.
those were legitimate job offerings that were here in the Texas Workforce Commission, formerly Texas Employment Commission, that were being offered. There was something in the paper here, the Houston Chronicle, on the 19th. It was very interesting. You know, Joyce Riley has given some speeches around this Houston area detailing how, according to Senator Riegel's committee, that George Bush, when he was president, along with this fellow Barbuti, this businessman from Houston, Haydar Barbuti, were sending chemical and biological weapons to Saddam Hussein so he could use them on our troops.
That's well documented, but it wasn't so he could use them on our troops.
Well, for whatever.
I don't think anybody in Iraq had anticipated the Gulf War.
Right. But in any case,
I think the goal was to use it on Israel.
Right. The there's an interesting article that came in the July 19th Houston Chronicle, little bitty thing in the area briefs section. The first Court of Appeals on Thursday upheld the dismissal of a libel lawsuit filed in 1993 by financier Haydar Barbuti against the Houston Chronicle and the Hearst Corporation. Barbuti's suit centered on two 1992 newspaper articles that reported possible links between Barbuti's family and the export of technology to the Middle East. In a 7-1 decision, justices found that the stories were substantially true. That upheld the trial court summary judgment ruling, which had dismissed the suit in 1994. The opinion Thursday reversed a 2-1 ruling by the first court in February, which had reinstated the suit and sent it back to trial. So at least there is something moving there to where, you know, we've got proof now, at least among the mainstream media, that this fellow Barbuti, and of course, who else he was connected to, George Bush Sr., that he was up to no good.
Uh-huh.
So this is one more link to show that people like Joyce Riley were not blowing smoke when they are talking about how many thousands of veterans now, some 12,000 veterans have been dying from this Gulf War disease.
Well, be careful with those figures. Our research shows that none of those figures they've been quoting is right. I think Joyce Riley is honest. I think she's trying to do a good job. I know for a fact Peter Khwaja is not honest and is not doing a good job. We investigated their reports of whole military bases that were infected with the Gulf War syndrome and they were dying, and none of it was true.
Okay.
So be very careful what you believe. Remember what I told you, folks. Listen to everyone, read everything, believe absolutely nothing unless you research it.
Well, another thing is that, you know, I want your sponsor at Swiss America to realize that, as God tells us in the Bible, that you're not supposed to sit down there and have dinner with evil men, and that would include Bobo Greitz here.
Well, he'll be on Tuesday night. Why don't you call in and tell him?
I will be more than happy to, because, again, I think that he would be making a sad mistake by abandoning your program, because you are an element of truth out there that is awfully hard to find. It's virtually impossible to find, and I know because I've worked in the media before. I've been in radio mostly with one little brief stint in television, and I know what kind of garbage is being permeated out there, what kind of effluence is going out over the airwaves. It's enough to set off an EPA alert in all 50 states.
Just about.
So, Bill, keep up the great work, and I'll try to call in on Tuesday when he's on. Hopefully, we'll be getting a fairly clear signal by then, but I will try to call in and remind Craig that you're the most important sponsor, that, or at least show that he is sponsoring.
Thank you.
God bless.
Good night.
Good night.
And thank you for calling. I also got a call after the broadcast last night. Someone began to berate me because I was not religiously tolerant. And for those of you who may have thought that the issue was Greitz's religion, you could not be farther from the truth. I don't care what religion anyone is. I really don't. You see, I believe in freedom. I believe that in this country we all have the right and the protected right to worship at the altar of our choice. The issue is telling people you belong to one religion to get them to follow you when it is a lie. It's a deception. You see, I don't like lies. I don't like liars. I don't like deceptions. I don't like manipulations. And that's the issue. You see, if Greitz wanted to be a Satan worshiper at midnight, he was honest about it and told his radio audience about it, I would have no quarrel with that at all. He's the one who has to answer to God for what he does during his life down here on this earth. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, Bill. This is Nick from Staten Island, New York.
Hi, Nick.
I get your paper, listen to your show as much as I can, because sometimes the static doesn't bring it in all the time. I was just wondering, in New York City here, I don't know if it's been shown nationally, and believe it or not, a Heineken ad.
Mm-hmm.
You ever seen the symbol for the Heineken? It's a red star with a white border around it.
Oh, they're getting blatant with their socialism, aren't they?
Well, let me tell you, the first ad that they ran was a brick wall. You see this brick building wall?
Uh-huh.
It painted green, and then you paint this red star with this white border. And way at the bottom it says H/USA, Yonkers, New York. Period. That was it.
Uh-huh.
But what the hell I was looking at? You know, I'm saying, what the hell is that? And then about a month later, they updated it, and it showed the Heinekens on it. It on, whatchamacallit, buses, the sides of buses, and stuff like that. The next Heineken ad, which is running now in the metropolitan New York area, it's like a camera from behind, outside a bar, looking into a bar, and you hear two people talking. And it's evening, and the city skyline is reflected against the bar window. And the largest building in the skyline, they situated the red Heineken star right in the center of that building.
Well, the New World Order and everybody that's in control of this government today, they're all a bunch of communist, weirdo, freako, Marxist, socialist, puke-faced, and I used to call them scum, and I found out the scum is not the right word, because that floats to the top. They're really sludge. That sinks to the bottom. That's that real gooey,
and then
stinky stuff.
Just recently, I worked nights, 6 weeks, you know, and I was driving down one of the streets, major streets in Manhattan, and I see this, because we have the bus shelters here, you know, where you wait at the bus stop.
Uh-huh.
One portion of it, it's like a 7x4 foot portion, it's illuminated, they put ads on it. And I see this red thing, black hammering sickle, and I had to stop my vehicle, get out, cross the street. What the hell is this, you know? And it's red, just red paper, and with an outline in black of the Kremlin, with the big black hammering sickle. And across the top, it says, the new Cold War is coming. You know, it's probably on liquor ad, but they're greater utilizing this stuff, though, you know?
Uh-huh.
At the bottom, way at the bottom, it says, party approved. And I'm like, because basically all you see when you're, you know, more than 10, 15 feet away, is you see this big red 7x4 foot red thing with a big black hammering sickle, maybe about a foot and a half.
Yeah.
I'm like,
well, they're getting blatant. They're really getting very arrogant, very blatant. Nothing is hidden, as I've been telling you all along.
Thanks.
I want to thank you for that.
And this TWA thing, I just want you to please stay on top of this thing, because...
Oh, we are.
And keep the information coming. I was very shocked about that Coast Guard plane being there without a flight plan. I'd like to get...
Yeah, they said it was a routine, scheduled exercise. It wasn't. It was not scheduled. There is no schedule of it anywhere. There's no record of it anywhere. There's no flight plan.
Well, see, I jumped on it that night when,
And when we pushed them to say, hey, if this is a regularly scheduled exercise, a routine exercise, how come it wasn't scheduled? How come there is no record of it? How come we can't find a flight plan? They hung up on us.
Right. All I know is, like I said, the first few hours of anything major, that's when you're going to get the most honest news at all, because that's before they really start to manipulate and control it and get it and stuff like that.
Yeah.
They're still getting the stuff in from the citizens as they're trying to call it in and stuff.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, I know that there were eyewitnesses who seen this plane dive. You know, it was at least diving for a while before it started to flame, before it started to look like a flare and then exploded.
Uh-huh.
The one guy who seen it actually explode, he drew a picture of it because he was so, you know, emotional about it. And you could see the explosion that he drew was so much closer to the horizon of the water than it would have been at, you know, if it had really, like, exploded at 13,000 feet. It's so first. You know?
Uh-huh.
So there's just so much more involved with this thing here. Now, they stopped divers. You know, these are American citizens. People wanted to help on the beach, collect debris, you know, to turn things over. You know what I'm saying? Divers who live in the area and who have boats in the area wanted to help and assist with covering bodies, doing anything. They were all turned away.
I know.
I don't have to do this stuff.
Yeah, this stinks to high heaven. And we've already got some information that's absolutely shocking. We can't release it yet. We've got to put the picture together.
Right. Well, I'm going to keep listening, you know.
All of you out there on the East Coast, anything that you find, newspaper clippings, anything, tape that you get off the TV, witnesses, testimony, anything, collect it, compile it, and send it to us. We need it. We need it all. Okay?
Yeah, this past week, my VCR was out. Otherwise, I would have done that because I know from Oklahoma City.
I don't want to hear excuses. I want information.
I know, but I know that the 2 hours is so critical because that's when the real truth actually comes in before they edit everything else out.
That's right.
Hear what you're doing. Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
God bless.
God bless you, and thank you for calling.
Take care. Good night.
Well, 520-333-4578 is the number. You know, I really got tired today, and I laid down for just a little while to just kind of rest, and Pooh brought all her dolls in, and Lucy and Blue Dolly and Lara, and who were some of the others?
Well, honey, it wasn't Alara.
Well, who was it?
That little doll was named Anera.
Oh, I'm sorry, Anera. And she kept me company and showed me how she dresses all those fellas. But the one I liked the most is when she dressed her stuffed moose. We call him Moosey.
Mm-hmm.
And he was quite a sight, I got to tell you. Good evening, you're on the air.
Well, Mr. Cooper, I was listening to you last night and hearing the news and story and stuff. About how much does it cost you a year to run your program? I mean, what are the costs involved?
Well, I don't want to put that out over the air. It's a lot of money, though.
Oh, okay. No, I was just wondering, is it possible that your listeners, if, you know, $5, $10 each? You know?
I would never do that. I do not practice socialism. I do not ask my listeners to fund this broadcast. There was one time when we first, I guess it was after the first year of broadcasting, when we'd sold absolutely everything that we had, that we asked the listeners if they, while we were looking for a sponsor, if they really felt that they were getting real worth from this broadcast to send in what they thought it was worth to hear it, and not to send it as donations, but as a payment for real worth received. We didn't collect much money from that. Nobody ever does, and I really don't like to do that. I'd like to pay my own way and, you know, or have a sponsor who pays the way because they're getting value from it. That's the way I like to do it.
Sure. Well, I just thought I'd let you know there. You know, I'd be one interested that I'd be interested in paying or help paying my way for what I get for information. You know, kind of like donations to like what you do for PBS or whatever.
I understand that, but I've listened to so many radio broadcasts who deteriorate into fundraising broadcasts rather than imparting information because they don't get enough money to pay whatever their bills are, and pretty soon they're not even a broadcast anymore. It's just for an hour of fundraising, and I don't want to do that.
Well, I hope you work out the problem, but I'll definitely be a listener that'll hang in there.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
520-333-4543. We always make out, don't we, Pooh?
Mm-hmm.
We may not do exactly what we want to do all the time, but eventually we make out pretty good, huh?
Yep.
Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, the prophet of God, Elijah, said you're going to judgment. You're going to hell, you Cooper. Stare knows you.
Oh, here's a lovely little blithering coward. Would you like to tell us who you are, you little coward? Would you like to tell us who you are and talk to us intelligently? Or are you going to continue to show your stupidity? There's another one. There's another one. And guess what? He's obviously a follower of the false prophet of God, Brother Stair. Since I've been listening to Brother Stair, he's made about, I would say about 900 prophecies, none of which ever came true. I listened one night as he urged all of his followers to buy gold coins, and then 2 weeks later he berated them for buying gold coins. What fools these mortals be. If you're going to call this broadcast, you better have some brains, and you better not be a coward. Good evening, you're on the air.
Hi, Bill.
Hello. Turn off your radio.
Yeah, it's off. It's Mike in London. Hi.
Hi.
Did you hear about Amschel Rothschild's suicide in Paris last Monday?
No, I didn't.
That made our local paper. I'll send that down to you. Obviously, when I found out that the plane out of New York was headed for Charles de Gaulle Airport, I jumped to conclusions, of which I can have none. Obviously, it's hard to have an opinion on this situation, the tragedy of the air crash.
Mm-hmm.
I can't help but feel something stinks so bad, and I want to accuse America. I want to accuse agencies within the government of perpetrating this, but I can't because it's not based on anything but speculation. But that's a gut instinct I have. It stinks, and it's just indicative of the situation in your country, along with what I call vulgar displays of nationalism that everybody applauds, meaning the Olympics. It's all unity and together in the name of McDonald's and big business. And in light of this tragedy, I'm expecting some problems at the games. I think it's prime for terrorist activity. Maybe somebody's bloodlust was satisfied with what happened in New York. I don't know. But something stinks, and it's horrible.
Well, it does stink. But I got to tell you, the Olympics has nothing to do with nationalism. That's an international events that...
true enough, but they wave their flags proudly every 4 years. You know what I mean? And then they unite, and it's...
Oh, yeah, in that sense, you're correct, yes.
Strange to me. And I find it sort of vulgar, where the national pride based on the athletic accomplishments of a given individual, wonderful. But anyway, that's my opinion on the Olympics. You would have heard of Rothschild's suicide. They alleged that he killed himself in a Paris hotel, and he couldn't face up to the pressures of being Rothschild, whatever those might be.
Well, I don't know, but I tell you what, I read the obituaries every day, and there was no obituary on
there. Wasn't one in Time magazine either.
No.
Hey, why is the press keeping silent on the death of a pretty prominent figure, Rothschild?
I have no idea.
You know, and I was spooked by the fact that that plane was on its way to Paris. I immediately thought it was press club or something, and someone said, none, you know, that this is bigger than we know. We both know. I don't know. But I'll send you the article from my local paper here in London.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
No problem. I hope I have some courage and some brains for you.
Certainly.
So there's no point in even debating with those people. They have nothing better to do.
I'm not debating with them. I'm just showing the world and whoever's sitting in the room with them and the people who know them and anybody else who might be thinking about it, that they're just a bunch of incredibly cowardly, airheaded, stupid wimps.
True enough.
Yeah.
You know, they should try that with their own media.
What they should do is...
They're the mainstream media, because that's where they would fit in anyway, for lack of intelligence.
Well, I don't think people like that fit in anywhere. They're mentally deranged. There's no doubt about that.
Dude. Well, nice talking to you, sir. I'll mail you a photocopy this week. I'm surprised you... I have it in print.
Great.
I have it in print. And
make sure in that photocopy you include the portion of the page that says whatever publication it was in.
Yes, it was Amschel Rothschild. I don't have the article with me, but I will send that to you.
Okay.
And I'm curious as to why Time hasn't. Oh, they usually... Was he not that prominent a figure? I assume so. He's part of the wealth of the world.
I have no idea. Thank you for calling.
Okay.
Good night. 520-333-4543 is the number. Good evening. You're on the air.
Oh, how you doing there, Bill?
Good.
Just started listening to you recently and wanted to get in last night. I listened to you last night. But you know what? I got to disagree with you a little bit on something. I don't see anything wrong with it. I don't think it's socialism for you. You know, these guys out there don't want you to have them as an advertiser or have that sponsor. They ought to kick in a few bucks to keep you going. That's the way I look at it.
Well, I
mean, if they want to criticize, I really don't see how you can consider that socialism.
Consider what socialism?
Well, didn't you say you thought that anybody that...
I believe people should pay their own way.
Well,
that's what I believe. I believe that if a broadcast is running off the donations of the listeners, that it's a socialist broadcast.
Well, that's okay. Maybe you can't do it fully, but like I said, these guys that are criticizing your sponsorship, if you're talking about possibly not being able to run but a couple times a week, you heard what the listeners think about that. They don't want to see that happen.
Well, I've heard what the very few of the listeners who were able to get through the lines on the call-in had to say. We have 10 million listeners, minimum.
Yeah.
Worldwide.
On the phone.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's basically all I had to say. And I like listening to you. I think you're a little radical sometimes. Like, I get a lot out of what you got to say.
Yeah, I'm passionate. There you'll never have to
that's
guess.
That's a better word for it.
Yeah, you'll never have to guess what I'm thinking or what I'm feeling or anything else. I don't hide anything. I'm up front. I'm the most honest person you'll ever see. If I'm angry, I'm going to let you know about it. If I'm sad, you'll hear that too. When I watch these things like Crossfire, and I see the right and the left and the guests who are just off the wall as all get out, and they're all discussing these points, and nobody gets excited about anything, then I know they're all acting. Nobody cares about anything that they're talking about. It's an act. It's a joke. And
unfortunately, you have to get the way it is on some of the shows that are on.
Well, they're jokes. I mean, if you find somebody's discussing something that's life or death, that has to do with freedom, that has to do with the basic principles and ideals that made this country great, and they don't get excited about it, there's something wrong. Something really wrong there.
Yeah, no, Quick question here for you. This Pale Horse book, is that still available?
Oh, yeah.
I've got your address, but I need to know the amount.
$30 postpaid.
Okay, well, I'm going to let some other guys get in here, but I think you have...
I don't ever object to somebody sending me a donation because it's their idea.
What I
object to is me getting on the air and asking them to send me a donation. I don't like that.
Well, that's okay. I can understand.
That's a different story, see.
I understand it. But these people that are listening to you now, they should support you if you decide not to do it. And that's plain common sense. Anyway, that's all I've got, Bill. We'll let somebody else in there. And good luck to you, and I hope everything works out.
Thank you. Thank you for calling. Well, let's take a short break. What do you think, Pooh? You want me to play that song you liked?
Yeah.
Okay. Here we go. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill.
Hi.
Cyburn, Texas.
Hello.
You got the first 36 hours of film from the crash coming to you.
Great. Wonderful. Thank you.
I started about 10 minutes after it was reported, so you ought to have something, and it's all off of live feeds.
Good. That's wonderful.
Okie doke. And the Ansel Rothschild thing?
Uh-huh.
It was first reported that he shot himself, but then they turned the papers in France then reported that he had hung himself. Conflict already there over that death. And he was next in line to take over that dynasty, the banking.
Wonder if the war's already started and we don't know it.
Might have. I don't know. Well, tell all the girls hi.
Thank you very much.
Yes, good night.
Well, Pooh's right here. Why don't you tell her hi yourself?
Okay. Hi, Pooh.
Hi.
How are you?
Fine.
Staying up late tonight?
Huh?
Staying up late tonight.
Yeah.
Being a help, huh?
Yep.
Will you give your sister a big hug for me?
Sure.
And pat the dog on the head?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Tell your mom that.
All right.
All right.
Are you coming to the conference?
No, I don't think so.
It's very close to you.
Yeah, I know. I'm getting over a horrible case of bronchitis.
Oh, no.
In the summer at 104 degrees, it's not easy to get over.
Yeah. Well, I've had my bouts with that particular problem many times. Whenever I get attacked, it seems to be my throat always.
Always.
Yeah. Okay, thank you for calling.
Okay.
Bye-bye. 520-333-4578 is the number. Good evening. You're on the air.
How you doing, Mr. Cooper?
Good.
A couple questions for you. First of all, I want to congratulate you on the type of show that you produce. You are definitely the only person that I listen to for news anymore.
Well, thank you.
Now, as far as Pooh, I have a 4.5-year-old little girl, and I'm aware that she's a little bit older, but I recall you saying at the beginning of the show that you were kind of sharing the show together. Is this true?
Sure.
I'm wondering if she likes horses. My little girl just loves to play with little horses in a stable area and everything, and I'm just wondering if Pooh enjoys the same type of things.
I like horses.
Do you enjoy playing with them, or is it just something that you enjoy as far as the horses, or what?
Well, I like riding them on.
Oh, well, then you're advanced as far as my little girl, because she's never been on a horse, but she loves them. And I want you to know that you have the greatest father in the whole world, and you should be very proud of him, and we always enjoy what you add to the show. And thank you, Mr. Cooper, for the time.
Are you coming to the conference?
No, I'm not. The reason that I can't is because I take care of my little girl right now, and we just don't have enough money to come there. But hopefully in the near future I can bring her, because I'm sure she would love to meet you, and I would love to meet your dad.
All right.
Okay, maybe next time, though. And it was nice talking to you.
Thanks.
Okay, bye-bye.
Good night.
Good night. Thank you, Mr. Cooper.
Oh, thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 520-333-4578 is the number. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, Bill.
Yes.
Yes, I called in like a couple Fridays ago, and I told you I was from Polk Airport Faces, Jason from North Carolina.
Uh-huh.
I just wanted to thank you for a couple things that you said last night. You were talking about your own spirituality and how you had the ability to pick up and leave, you know, in case, you know, things change for you. I'm in the same way in that respect. Let me think about what I wanted to talk to you here. As far as things being on television, I noticed that the symbol for Fidelity Investments is the pyramid with the separation at the top.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, that's just one of the little things that I picked up on. Also, I'd like to thank you for talking about the incidents that are going on in Pittsburgh with the Army. Just to let your listeners know, the exercises that are going on here are getting a lot bigger. I've seen German troops come in here and jump with ours. I've seen British troops come here, and as well as some troops from Indonesia jumping with our troops. And I also saw a Russian cargo aircraft sitting on our ramp.
Oh, how can that be? Because Tom Maher, your great radio talk show host there in Pennsylvania, claims that nothing's going on and there's nothing to be worried about and there's no foreign troops on American soil and there's no such thing as black helicopters. And until the American military points its guns at its citizens, nobody should be worried.
Yeah, well, I'm not in Pittsburgh. I don't know what he has to say. But
that's what he has to say.
There's definitely some things that are going on, you know, behind the scenes. And none of the helicopters that I've seen here are green. They're all, you know, black because I'm a cargo inspector, and I see anything that, you know, comes through here that needs to be airlifted.
Uh-huh.
Anything that they're loading is usually black. So, also, I'd like to thank you for saying good words about Tex Mars. I'm a reader and a listener to his broadcast.
I don't always agree with everything Tex Mars says religiously, and he doesn't always agree with everything that I say either. But I know this about Tex Mars. He's an honest man, and he tells the truth as he believes it, and he sticks to his religion as he believes it, and you can never go wrong with a man like that.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Also, one of the tapes that I received from a friend of mine who's probably listening tonight is the tape that you did with him, and you covered several subjects. One of the things that we have in common is I have a friend who's father is a Mason, and I asked you about Prince Hall Masonry a couple weeks ago when I talked to you last. I don't
uh-huh.
remember. But he invited me to a DMLA meeting just like you were.
Uh-huh.
And I went to one meeting, and, you know, that was it. Because, you know, the things that were going on were just too damn spooky for me, you know, frankly. Just one of the things that happened when he wouldn't tell me. He said he couldn't tell me what, you know, was going to go on. At the ceremony, initiation, whatever, but one of the things I do remember is that I was led around in the room with a blindfold on, and they talked about their seven virtues or whatever. You know, I can't remember everything, and then...
Yeah, you were hoodwinked.
What's that? Exactly, yeah, I know the term, exactly. You know, yeah. Blindfold and what, you know, excuse me, whatnot, but another thing that they did was they reenacted the death of their quote unquote hero, you know, Jacques Demolay.
Uh-huh.
But like I said, I didn't stay on. You know, it's just too weird of a thing. And then, like I said, I was led on to all this, and you know, I learned that, thank God, it didn't, you know, come out to be something a lot worse.
Yeah, well, good.
One quick thing. What would be your advice for me to give to somebody, you know, who I care about, who happens to be a Mason? Like this, like I said, this guy is, you know, my best friend, but, I mean, we haven't talked about this. What do you think I could say to get him out of this? You know, is there anything that I could tell him?
I don't know anything that you could tell him. In fact, telling him anything would probably alienate him from you forever. That's usually what happens.
Because when I, you know, at work, when I'm sitting there with a friend, you know, there's somebody I know at work whose dad is a Mason, and I tried to argue the fact with him. It hasn't really done anything to our friendship, but, you know, everything I tried to tell him, he always had, you know, one thing to say after another. You know, like, if for instance, you can't disregard the whole thing just because there are a few bad people in it. That's, I couldn't believe it. But like you said, a man is a fool to belong to an organization that keeps things from him.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
You know, there's a lot of things out there. Like, for instance, I went to Washington, D.C., and I was taken back by, you know, just the structures. And in fact, the Friday evening that I got back, you were talking about the layout of Washington, D.C.
It's a Masonic city. There's no doubt about it.
You're right, yeah. And I've seen Anthony Hilder's Millennium 2000, where he points out the pyramid. In this, I don't know if you're aware of this, that the streets, the way it's laid out, there's a pyramid.
There's a pyramid. There's a compass and square. There's the whole.
I haven't seen the compass and the square before. Yeah. That's not my. I don't look at. I have to drag out my map because that's what I bought. I bought a pretty good map of the town so I could, you know, show it to whoever, you know.
Yeah.
You know, to let them know what was going on. Cause I try to, you know, give friends of mine a little bit of information at a time. You know, maybe some of them will catch on, maybe some won't. You know, some have. So I like to, you know, keep people informed of what's going on, you know.
Do you ever wonder why the president's office is the Oval Office shaped like an egg?
Yes, that was one of the things you talked about, and how the phallus points up to it. And
it points through the feminine, which is the reflecting pool, which represents the vagina.
Vagina, yes.
And the Oval Office is the egg that is being fertilized, and from it will spring the New World Order.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that's what a coincidence. Like I said, I just got home that Friday night. I got home about 10:30, 11 o'clock, and I tuned into your broadcast that night because I haven't been a listener that often for just like the last couple of weeks. My schedule is getting up at 6, and then my night ends up at 1 o'clock in the morning listening to you. And I tell you, I've been hanging in there. I've been, you know, trying to get in every night.
What you need is a radio with a recorder in it.
So yes, I know, but I tell you, I had to get onto it. $100 was all I had, and that's what I, you know, spent to get this. Hopefully I can, you know, save up enough, I'll get another one. But another thing I wanted to let you know is fuel to the fire. I think what you said about Pittsburgh and the Army adds fuel to my fire because I'm getting out of the military in November, and I'm relying on God to, guide my way. He says, in all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will guide your path, and I hope that's what happens with me.
That's the way I live my life, and it's never, ever failed me. If you trust in God and do the right thing, God will take care of you.
Yes. Like I said, I'm getting out, and
it's the most amazing thing, the way it happens. When you need something, it just magically appears.
That's exactly right.
It is incredible. And I mean, one right after another.
Yeah.
I was doing a series of lectures and was making some videotapes, and I needed some speeches and history of Kennedy on audio, and I couldn't find any anywhere. And we were going down the street, and I just had this incredible urge to pull into this thrift store, and I had no reason to go to a thrift store. I pulled in that thrift store, walked in the door. Right in front of the door was a record rack that had every single speech that Kennedy ever made, all of the historical records outlining the history of his campaign and everything were right there in front of my eyes, and they were like 10, 15, 25 cents a piece. And that's just one story. The incredible things that happen when you are doing the right thing and you trust in God and you have no fear, whatever you need will come to you.
Exactly right, yeah. Like I told you, I might have taken up too much of your time when I talked to you that night. I know it was late, maybe not for you, but, you know, I just happened to wander onto you through somebody I met in Saudi Arabia, and I came back here, and I was with another friend of mine, and he said, I have this friend who knows the most amazing stuff. And we started to talk about, you know, the pyramid, the dollar bill and everything. I got into it, and I re-met this guy, and he supplied me with your book and a couple other things. And I mean, that's what he does. One of the things that he does is he gives a copy of your book out, you know, to his friends.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are bookstores in this area. I know, like, you know, it's in Walden Books. I've seen it. Unfortunately, it's in the New Age section. They don't have.
Yeah, that's where they hide it.
Yeah, they don't have a truth section. You can't just go into that store and find everybody there that tries to print out the truth. They bury it in that crap that's all over there.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's just one of the chance things that happens.
Uh-huh.
Another thing is, it's all coming to a head, like you said the other night. Every time you turn on the TV, something else is on. You know, all the advertisements, the movies that are coming out now, everything is pointing in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
You know, there's a highlight to all the end of it for those who, you know, make it through.
Uh-huh. Did you see Independence Day?
Oh, yes, I did. I saw it.
What'd you think about that?
Oh, geez, that was just, well.
Wasn't it an absolutely rotten movie, really?
Yes, it was. And on your tape, you talk to Tex Mars and you point out that Ronald Reagan said in 6 different speeches that, you know, the world would unite if we were threatened by an outside force.
Uh-huh.
There it is, a screen.
Yeah, I know.
You know, it's in that movie. There's a movie, Phenomenon, coming out. It's totally new age about, you know, John Travolta getting this, you know, enormous power. And I just saw The Rock the other night.
Did you see Powder?
No, I didn't. I heard that was by a guy who was, you know, reportedly a homosexual, and he was up for abuse of a minor charges, and he was, you know, he had a felony on his record, and I just didn't want to see it. Somebody told me it was a good story.
Well, it had nothing to do with homosexuality. I don't know where you got that.
Well, no, it was about...
But it's about this guy who has incredible powers, because when he was in his mother's womb, she was struck by lightning. She died during the cesarean where they rescued the baby. She died, and he had these incredible powers, and it's all about he is the man of the future, and at the end of the movie he literally becomes God. I mean, right there in front of you on the screen. It's the whole new age new world order religion thing, and it's nothing but a bunch of bullshit, but people go crazy over that because it promises something that they want so bad to believe, yet there is absolutely no proof or there's not even a hint that it could possibly be true.
What I meant by homosexuality is the director, the maker of the film, was reportedly one, and he had a felony on his record for, you know, doing whatever. And I just consider the source. If it's something like that, I don't even pay attention to it. The one movie I did mention, The Rock, Sean Connery's character's name is John Mason. The only thing they know about him is that he's from Scotland. Scottish Rite, of course.
Yeah.
And that he supposedly carries secrets, the truth about the Kennedy assassination and,
yeah,
you know, some other stuff that they're talking about.
Well, they're right on, because that's exactly who did it.
Yeah, exactly. And another thing that the main villain in the character said in the movie, today we're known as, let's see, traitors, tomorrow we'll be known as patriots. You know, isn't that interesting? They're trying to link us up with, you know, a bunch of criminals.
Yeah, well, I wrote that in my book years ago.
Exactly, yeah, and I've read that.
Listen, I got to let you go. We got to get somebody else in here.
Take care, Bill. I'll talk to you later.
Thanks for calling.
Bye.
How you doing over there, Pooh?
Fine.
Getting a little sleepy?
Mm-hmm.
You want to go to bed, honey?
Yeah.
Okay. Why don't you take off your earplugs and go ahead and go to bed, and I'll come tuck you in a little bit.
All right.
I saw you just nodding off there. I know it's late. Thank you for helping me.
You're welcome.
I really appreciate it. Good night.
Good night.
Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill.
Hello.
Hi, Pooh, or good night, Pooh.
Hi.
Hi, sweetie.
Hi.
You sure do have the sweetest voice in the world.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Who's this?
What, honey?
She said, who's this?
This is Susan.
Oh. Hi, Susan.
Hi, sweetheart. You have a baby sister now?
Yeah.
How is your baby sister?
She's fine.
Is she?
Mm-hmm.
You like being the big sister?
Yeah.
Yeah, that gives you an important job to do, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to talk to your dad now, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'll come tuck you in later, baby.
All right.
Good night.
Good night.
What a doll. Bill, I wanted to ask you a question about something.
Uh-huh.
You have done hours and hours on the New World Order and Illuminati fascination with Egyptian religion.
Uh-huh.
And although that's not a religious fascination for me, historically it is a fascination, the Egyptian culture, and especially the pyramid and the Sphinx. And I just finished reading a really great book that just came out in June of this year called The Message of the Sphinx by Graham Hancock and Robert Bavall.
You know, I've predicted that they're going to find underneath the Sphinx a room or a cavern or a vault, which they're going to say contains the secret knowledge and the history of the human race. And it's going to be linked to the pyramid of Cheops through some kind of a secret passage. I'll bet you that's going to happen.
Well, I was going to tell you something these guys said, which I thought you would find of great interest. Bavall and Hancock, along with a guy named John Anthony West, went to Egypt, did a lot of research, a lot of geological research. They have proved that the Sphinx is much older than has been thought of before, that it's been weathered by water, not by wind and sand. And so it's thrown conventional Egyptology into a big tizzy, and they don't want to hear any of this. But while they were there, they did some geological survey work, and they did find caverns under the Sphinx. Now they're up to 9 chambers they've found underneath there, but they have not been broken into them yet.
And they just came out with that book this year?
Yes, it's a great book, Bill. And the interesting thing is the reason that Graham Hancock has been on a world radio tour talking about this is he's furious that all these people that have made these discoveries, these people that have worked so hard for this, have all had their visas revoked and have been kicked out of Egypt. And lo and behold, the project has been surreptitiously and secretly taken over by some multimillionaires. And one of the names is David Koch. C-O-C-K. Didn't you talk, or C-O-C-H, didn't you talk about a Coke one night on your program?
Yes, I did.
And the other one is a guy named Bruce Ludwig, a multimillionaire real estate developer from Los Angeles. So these projects have been taken out of the hands of the geologists and the...
And placed into the hands of the Illuminati.
And placed into the hands of the New World Order. And in their book, they mentioned that there were some relics taken out of one of the tunnels inside the Great Pyramid that mysteriously disappeared in the British Museum. And who did this but the Masons?
Doesn't surprise me a bit. And it doesn't surprise me a bit that prophecy I made years ago is coming true. It's on tape, by the way. I first made that statement in 1988. And at most of my lectures ever since, I've made that prediction.
I think that Egyptian history really is fascinating, and how those pyramids were built is certainly still a mystery to this day.
I don't think it's a mystery, and I don't think that that there's any great magic to it at all. I think that they knew a lot more than we give them credit for. I think the pyramids were built, obviously, as temples of initiation. They were never tombs.
Exactly the same thing these guys claim as well, Bill.
Yeah, and it was also a tremendous welfare project that kept the population working instead of revolting against the pharaoh.
Well, the history is so interesting, and I find it really fascinating that the project is now co-opted by, it is in conjunction with Florida State University. And everything is being done in secret now. John Anthony West and Bavall and Hancock all did everything on videotape, and they immediately released it on a program that was narrated by Charlton Heston called The Mystery of the Sphinx. And as soon as they made that information public, boy, everything just shut down. They were permanently kicked out of Egypt and not allowed to pursue any more work, and now these millionaires are doing it. And their fear is that whatever is in there that might be of great historical significance that the world might be interested in is going to be removed, and something else will be put in there.
Well, you're probably absolutely right. The same with the Dead Sea Scrolls. We don't really know what's being translated from the Dead Sea Scrolls, and the photographs of the scrolls that have been released for other people to translate, we don't know if those are the real fragments of the scrolls or not, or if they're forgeries. But we do know that they are being used to attempt to destroy Christianity. And that's one of the big goals of the New World Order. So, we cannot trust these things. And the Dead Sea Scrolls are being translated where? At the Rockefeller Museum in Israel.
Right. All that.
Huh?
I said, look who is controlling that project.
Yeah. That's a doozy. People are falling for these scams right and left.
One last thing I'd like to throw out there before we hang up. I don't know what you think of Art Bell, but I listen to him because I love the Highly Weird. And I know that he's got on his website a couple of the latest crop circles.
Yeah, but you got to understand that there's enough weird stuff in the world that is real without listening to Art Bell's fabricated bullshit. he's about as Looney Tunes as you can possibly get, and he is absolutely promoting the New World Order and helping it come about.
Is he? You really think so?
Oh, without any doubt. Just stop listening to the weird stuff and start listening to Art Bell.
Well, but Bill, what about those crop circles? What do you think they are?
I know exactly what they are.
What are they?
They're circles made with experimentation of particle beam weapons on satellites. You can make them in your microwave.
Oh. Well, I know that I've heard that thrown out even on Art Bell's show before by a caller.
That's exactly what it is. They're being done from satellite with a microwave, a beamed microwave that can be, that the power can be adjusted to the proper level where it just lays that grass over as the microwave spins around and they can do whatever they want. They can write messages in wheat fields if they want to. They can tell you God is coming tomorrow. And you notice that all these New Age wackos are translating those crop circles to tell you that we've got to accept the socialist totalitarian New World Order.
Well, I haven't heard that one, but...
Well, start reading the books that they've been writing about the crop circles, and you'll see it come out loud and clear. We're out of time.
Okay, Bill.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye. Folks, when you get into this Looney Tunes stuff, pay attention. Pay attention to what's going on. Good night. God bless each and every single one of you.